بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هل أتى على الإنسان حين من الدهر لم يكن شيئا مذكورا؟ إنا خلقنا الإنسان من نطفة أمشاج نبتليه، فجعلناه سميعا بصيرا، إنا هديناه السبيل إما شاكرا وإما كفورا. صدق الله العلي العظيم. The concept of divine destiny and divine will and decree, al-qada wal-qadr, and in total our journey in this life, is one of the most complex issues in Islam. There is no question in Islam more difficult than this question, than this one. Who decides our journey in this life? Who is the one who decides my fortune or misfortune, my failure or my success, my marriage or my divorce, my health or my sickness? Who's the one behind the scene? Is it man by himself, who is the sole decision maker on these issues? We decide our fate. Do we decide our destiny? Do we decide our journey? Or is it God? Or is it both? And therefore, there are three schools here, three philosophical and theological schools, who have an answer to this question. One school says, it's only God, and you have no choice, you have no free will. It is God who decides your journey from A to Z. Whatever you do here, whatever you accomplish, whether you are a successful person, whether you are a failure, whether you are good or bad, these things are decided on your behalf by God only. And then they bring verses from the Quran. This school, the school of determinism or coercion al-mujabbira, they support their argument with the verses of the Quran. And they say, look at the Quran. قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Whatever you do in this life, it would not work. Only what God has decided and predetermined for you, preordained for you, before your creation, before you came into this life, God has decided the full itinerary for you, from A to Z. And whatever you do, you are not going to change that. This is a school of thought. And it's a very significant school of thought and a school of philosophy in Islam. And in fact, this idea of coercion, al-jabr, and determinism, that God determines the fate of mankind. They have no role, they have no say in that. This philosophy and this group, they pre-existed before Islam. It was found in many religions before the arrival of Islam. The polytheist. In Mecca, the polytheist, this was their idea, that if we are worshipping the idols, then this is God's wills. وَلَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا عَبَدْنَاهُمْ. If God wills, we would not worship the idols. Let me recite for you a couple of verses said by the polytheist in Mecca regarding that they have no free will. They have no free will and it is only God. They say, سَيَقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا وَلَا آبَاؤُنَا. The polytheists, they're going to tell you that if God wills, we would not take partners with him. So this means that God, the will of God is to take partners with him. He imposed this idea on us. He imposed this path on us. Another verse says, وَإِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً, when they perform a shameful act, قالوا وجدنا عليها آباءنا والله أمرنا بها. These shameful acts that we are practicing, we saw our forefathers practicing them, and above all, God commanded us to practice this shameful act. They drink alcohol, and he says, God is forcing me. They fornicate, and they say, God is forcing me. They steal, they cheat, they lie, they abuse, and they attribute all these things to God. That God wants me to do this. It's not me. I have no free will. And then also other religions before Islam, Judaism, believes in coercion. God says in the book, in our book, in the Holy Quran, وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودِ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةٌ. God, his hands are tied up, handcuffed. When he makes a decision, he cannot change. He cannot change it. So when he creates you and he wants you to be an evil person, even if you try to be a good person, you are not able to do that. You have no power. You have no control over your journey, your choice, your thoughts, your deeds, your actions, your behavior. You have no control over it. وَقَالَتِ الْيَهُودِ يَدُ اللَّهِ مَغْلُولَةٌ غُلَّتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَلُعِنُوا بِمَا قَالُوا. So there is a school. This school is attributed to a man called Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, philosophical school in Islam, that believes that our destiny is being preordained and predestined by God. And they say, they bring a hadith, and the hadith is correct, by the way. This hadith is correct, it's not wrong, but the interpretation is wrong. The hadith says, السعيد سعيد في بطن أمه والشقي شقي في بطن أمه. A person that you see today who's happy, who's joyful, who's successful, moving forward, this person has been fortunate and happy since his mother conceived him. والشقي, on the other hand, the one who's misfortunate, he's a failure, he's not doing good at school, he's not doing his marital life, he's not doing his good in the society. Again, he has been misfortunate while his mother conceived him. So what is the interpretation of this hadith? The coercionist who believe in absolute predestination, that God draws the map for you and you have no control over it, they bring this as an evidence that, listen, whatever you try to do here, whatever you try to change, you are not able, because you were fortunate from day one. God wanted you to be fortunate and successful. And that person who's a failure, he's a failure from day one. God does not want him to be successful. And there is hadith in the book of Sahih. We have 6 books of Sahih. In the Sunni tradition, there are 6 references of hadith that are called authentic. Do you know the meaning of these 6 books? This is my quiz. You had a quiz earlier. This is my quiz. Who can tell me the name of these 6 books in the Sunni tradition that are called authentic and reliable? They are the main source of hadith in the Sunni tradition. What are they? Number 1, Bukhari. Number 2, number 3, Tirmidhi. Number 4, Abu Dawood al-Sajistani. Ahsan. Number 5, Muslim was number 2. Number 4, An-Nasa'i. Ahsanti. Good. And number 6, by the way, Ibn Majah, his last name is Al-Qazwini. But he's not related to me, you know. Ibn Majah Al-Qazwini. So these are the 6 books. Sahih Muslim, the second book, Muslim ibn al-Hajjaj Al-Qushayri. This is his first name. He says, very amazing hadith, but we don't believe in this hadith, of course. In the school of Ahlul Bayt, we don't believe this hadith is authentic. That when your mother conceives you, you are in your mother's womb, God is going to decide whether you're going to be Sa'id or Shaqi, fortunate or misfortunate. God is going to decide that. فَلَوْ كُتِبَ عَلَيْهِ الشِّقَى If God decides that you're going to be miserable and happy, حَتَّى لَوْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ Even if you spend your entire life doing good things, the right things, and you are about to die and go to paradise, and between you and paradise only few feet, God is going to change your life 180 degrees and He's going to send you to the hellfire. On the other hand, the person who is, God wants him to be happy and fortunate and successful when he's in his mother's womb, he comes into this life and he commits crimes and sins and violations and he hurts people and he's a very bad person. He commits evil, he commits sins. And between him and hellfire, only a few feet, but God is going to change him immediately, 180 degrees, and he's going to send him to paradise. Why? Because God wants him to go to paradise. And God wants that guy to go to the hellfire. You cannot change it. This is called coercion, and this is unacceptable. Because it is against God's divine justice. And in fact, my friends, this idea, this hadith, comes from the Bible. One of the books of the Bible, the Psalm of David. This is in the Psalm of David, 51:5. It says, this is a verse in the Psalm of David. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. In sin did my mother conceive me. So his mother conceived him in sin. Whatever he does, he's not going to change it. So this is one school. The school of the determinism, compulsionist, mujabbira, who believes that, listen, your destiny has been drawn by God, has been pre-planned for you by God. And if you are successful in school, if you are successful in marriage, if you are successful in business, if you make lots of money, if you are rich, if you are healthy, if you are happy, if you are famous, because God wants these things for you, not you. It's not because of your deed or your effort. On the other hand, a person who's miserable, who's homeless, who has no future, who's sick, God wants him to be sick. God wants him to be homeless. We do not subscribe to this. Then we come to the second school, who says God created us, and those are Mufawwida. Mufawwida believes, they believe that God created us, and He does not interfere in our life. He gives us absolute freedom, absolute free will. You decide your fate for yourself from A to Z, and God just sits there and watches you. He doesn't interfere in your life, which is not true. There are many things that you'd love to do, you'd love to accomplish, and you can't do. How many times you tried to marry this person and you couldn't? You ended up marrying the other person. How many times you tried to keep yourself healthy, always healthy, not to get sick, but despite that you got sick? How many times you tried to be successful at school, in the business, in the hospital, in the street, in the society, and you failed? We don't decide everything for ourselves. Certain things, yes. Certain things, fundamental things, have been decided and predetermined by God. This means that there is a bigger designer and a planner above us. And by the way, Imam Ali alayhi salam says regarding this, he says, عَرِفْتُ اللَّهَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِفَسْخِ الْعَزَائِمِ وَنَقْضِ الْهِمَمِ One of my evidences where I prove that God does exist, there is God above there is a controller above there, who overrides our rulings, is by the disintegration of my plans. I plan to do something tomorrow or next week or next month. All of a sudden, this plan gets disintegrated. It is demolished, completely demolished, or invalidated. عرفت الله, I recognized God, بفسخ العزائم, the disintegration of my plan, the invalidation of my plan. ونقض الهمم, overruling of my will. I will something and God wills something else. This means that there is God there. You can't do everything you aspire. Can someone today tell me here on this side or that side that you are able to accomplish all your dreams in this life? Show me. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Could you accomplish all your dreams in this life so far? Could you? Could you do everything you decided to do? Could you execute every will and every plan in your life? Could you? Tell me. You may stand and say, yes, Sayyid, I did everything I planned for. Everything from A to Z. Tell me, let me learn from you. I'm asking you. I'm not challenging anyone. I'm asking questions. So some dreams you can accomplish them, some others you cannot. Do you decide your color of the skin? Do you decide it for yourself? Do you decide to choose your mother or your father? Do you decide your birth date? I want to be born on this month, in this year, on this day. Did you decide that? Did you decide the place of birth for yourself? You didn't. Many things you did not do. So there are some areas that we have no control over them. They have been predestined for us. They have been chosen for us by God. We have no control over them. But there are other areas where we have a say, we have a choice, we have a role. And I'm going to come to that area. I'm going to come to that area. So here, my friends, there is no, and by the way, this subject of divine will and divine decree and destination, al-qada wal-qadr, is one of the most obscure and hidden subjects in Islam. And thus, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "Inna al-qada su'ila 'an al-qadr." He was asked about our destiny. What is our destiny? You know what he answered, Imam Ali? Imam Ali alayhi salam said, "Tariqun mudlimun fala tasluquhu." It's a dark path. Do not venture into it. وَبَحْرٌ عَمِيقٌ فَلَا تَلِجُوهُ. It's a very deep sea, so do not dive into it. وَسِرُّ اللَّهِ فَلَا تَتَكَلَّفُوهُ. And it is the divine mystery of God, so do not overburden yourself with it. What does that mean? It means we don't study the subject, we don't discuss it, we don't ask. No, no. You may ask, you may research, you may study, you may inquire, you may discuss, you may debate. But he's trying to say that this subject, divine will and divine decree and our destiny in this life, is too complicated for many of us. Too mysterious for many of us. No matter how much we study it, how much we reflect upon it, at the end we are going to come up With unanswered questions. So these are the two schools, my friends. What was the first school? Can someone help me from this side? Tell me, what was the first school? What's the name of the first school? And what do they believe in? They believe in determination, okay, or coercion, jabr. Which means what? Choice. or any free will in this life. God has decided your journey from A to Z, from the moment of birth till the moment of death. God is driving you. God is controlling your life. So, have you seen this now recently in the streets here? The self-driven, auto-driven vehicles? Okay, there is no driver there. This is how they believe, that we do not drive our life. We don't decide. It's God who is deciding for us. So whatever you do, you can't do anything. If you murder today, because God wants you to murder. This is exactly what Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan said about his son Yazid. When he appointed his son Yazid to be his successor, people came to him, many Muslims. They said, Yazid is not fit to rule. He's corrupt. So why do you make him a successor after you? Exactly, Muawiyah said this. He said, this is the will of God. I have no say in that. This is the will of God. So they attribute this to God. And by the way, most of the tyrants and the corrupts, they believe in the concept of coercion. They believe in the concept of coercion. So if you are trying to change the regime or remove someone and bring someone else, they say, no, don't do that. Leave it, God. If God wills, God will change this person, which is not true. God says, you have to do something. The ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. God is not going to change the circumstances, the conditions of a community from bad to good unless they have to do something. If they are just sitting and doing nothing, God is not going to change it. You have a role. And what was the second school's opinion? I'm asking this side of the room. What is their name and the and what is their concept about our destiny? Ahsant, absolute and full free will. That God created you and he says, go to the earth, enjoy your life, and you're going to have a free will from A to Z. I'm not going to interfere in that. Which is this a true? Do you accept this? Why we don't accept this? What is the fundamental wrong in that? Yes?
It leaves out the intervention of Allah.
Exactly. Because it will hurt the concept of monotheism, the concept of Tawheed and monotheism. God is in full control of what you are doing. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. You cannot have a will unless God will endorses you or accept it. If God does not want, you are not going to do anything. It puts God aside. It makes God only a creator. That's it. And then God is sitting aside and he's not intervening in our life, which is not true. So now we come to the third school, and this is the school that has been advocated by Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, the Prophet and his family. And what is the name of that school between the two? What do they call it? That school was introduced by our sixth Imam, Imam Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wasalam. And his martyrdom was about a few days ago, 4 or 5 days ago. The martyrdom, the anniversary of his martyrdom. He came up with this hadith, لا جبر ولا تفويض وإنما أمر بين أمرين. Neither absolute coercion nor absolute free will, but it is a cause in the middle, a matter in the middle. Meaning that, who decides my destiny? Is it God alone or me alone? Neither one. It is a partnership, cooperation between God and me, myself. We both decide. God has given us reason. إِنَّا هَدَيْنَاهُ السَّبِيلِ إِمَّا شَاكِرًا وَإِمَّا كَفُورًا. We have given him the intellect, the aql, the reason. We showed him the map, the way. We said to him, this path leads into felicity and success and salvation. The other one leads into damnation. And it's up to you. It's up to you which one you choose. We are not going to force you. Though we want you to go into this path, the path of success and salvation, but we are not going to push you against your will. If you don't want to go, we are not going to force you. We are not going to force you. Why God is not going to force us? If someone insists and defies God always, and says, I don't want to listen to you. Leave me alone. I want to go into this path of sinning and damnation. Why does God does not stop him? Why? Tell me why. Shouldn't God stop him? Tell him, no. You are destroying yourself. You are destroying your community. You are destroying your society. So he should stop him or forces him or coerces him. But why he doesn't do that? I want to hear from you. Yes, 1 second. Yes. He's not. He's not what? He's not a dictator. Good. But why he's not a dictator? Why? This is my question. The sister, what did you say, sister, here? Yes? We have wisdom and we have reason. But still, we have wisdom and we have reason. Why he does not stop us? Yes? We have a free will, but why he does not stop us? Answer this question. Yeah.
Because that's the point of life. We make decisions and then we get judged.
Exactly. Because if God wants to stop the sinner by force, then why he created hell and fire? Why? Becomes pointless and meaningless. Why he created thawab and iqab, reward and punishment? Why? If he's forcing people to do certain things here, if a professor at the university is giving you all the answers, then why you are passing? Why? He's giving you the answers. You didn't do anything. God says, I want you to reach paradise by your own force. Not by me pushing you. I'm not going to do that. Yes, I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to forgive you if you commit a sin and you come back to me again and again and again. I will keep forgiving you, but I'm not going to push you into paradise. Neither I'm going to push the sinner into hellfire. Because I want them to deserve what they get. And if God is pushing us and forcing us, we are not deserving. He's doing the job for us. We are not doing the job. Therefore, he does not coerce us. God today, this moment, right now, that I'm talking to you, there are millions of people around the globe are committing murder, sin, fornication, corruption, theft, hurting others, injustice, oppression. Millions of people right now. He doesn't stop them. Shimmer came and he sat on the chest of Imam Hussein and beheaded him. Could God stop him physically? Yes. He could have made him paralyzed. And the story happened before Imam Hussein. A father wanted to slay his son, but the knife did not work. Which story? Huh? The story of Ibrahim and his son Ismail. The father was serious. He took out the sword or the knife, and he was pressing against his son's neck. He was pressing hard. It didn't work. God stopped him. There is a reason for that. Because God was testing him. When God said to him, I want you to murder your son, he was testing him. Imtihan, test. So God stopped him. Why God did not do the same with Shimmer when he was murdering Imam Hussein? Could he do that practically or he couldn't? Yes, practically God could stop Shimmer from murdering Imam Hussein, but God didn't do it. Why? Why? I'm asking you. Give me an answer.
Because
why God did not stop Shimr, the murderer of Imam Hussein, from murdering him. Why? Why he didn't do that? Uh-huh. You wanted to say something? Someone raised his hand. Yes?
So that the story could be told.
The story could be told. And it was the will. Imam Hussein was happy about his martyrdom. He was not sad. And he knew. وَخُيِّرَ لِي مَصْرَعٌ. And before he left to Karbala, he knew exactly the spot, the place, because he was given the choice and he accepted the choice. When he was 6 years old, 7 years old, his father told him, the Prophet, told him, Hussein, this ummah after me, this community is going to murder you. Would you accept that or reject that? In murdering you, in your martyrdom, in your shahada, Islam is going to thrive. Islam is going to be born again. It's the resurrection of Islam. This is the benefit of your martyrdom. So would you accept that or reject? Imam Hussein accepted that. And he was happy about it. And God, therefore, God does not stop the Shimr from doing that. He doesn't stop him because there is a goodness in that. There is a benefit in that. There is a good outcome in that. And the Shimr is doing with a free will. So God is not going, God is testing Imam Hussein and testing Shimr at the same time. Testing both of them. It's a test. Therefore, when you have sickness today, don't say God does not like me, God hates me. If you fail in the test, if you fail in your marriage, if you fail in your work, don't say God is punishing me. It's not always about punishment. 90% of this life is about test. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ To test you. To put you to trial and tribulation. If you lose something, if you lose your home, your car, your health, your partner, your son, God forbid, your money, your friends, there is a test. It's not a punishment. Don't look at it as a punishment always. Oh, God doesn't hate me because if he loves me, I will marry this person. If he loves me, I'll make this much money. If he loves me, I'll buy this house. No, no. In fact, God reserves the severest tests for his awliya, for those that he loves the most. البليات شعار الأنبياء. شعار is the slogan. The slogan of all the Anbiya and the virtuous is they are being put to test every single day. Every single day. And they suffer from every evil. They do suffer. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He suffered from his own community. People who lived with him and they knew him very well. They knew him to be very honest, trustworthy, dedicated, devout. Yet those people turned against him. Those people were persecuting him. Those people drove him out of his city. The Prophet was tested by some of his wives. Today I was telling, said Mohsen, we were sitting and chatting. Don't think that marital problems only in your family. You have divorce, you have a problem with your partner, with your husband, with your wife. No, the Prophet, he had a problem with his wives. It's in the Quran, chapter 33. Read this book. Chapter 33, God says to the wives of the Prophet, Ya Nisa al-Nabi, in kuntunna turidna al-hayata al-dunya, wa zinataha fata'alayna umatti'kunna wa usarrihkunna sarahan jameela. The Prophet, his wives, they were quarreling. There was domestic disturbance in his family, in his house, in his home. He left them. He went upstairs for 1 month. He stayed away from his wife. This is the Prophet. The Prophet suffered from hunger, from poverty, from sickness, from loneliness, from hate. He suffered from all these things. This is part of our life. If you don't suffer, أم حسبتم أن تدخلوا الجنة ولما يأتكم مثل الذين خلوا من قبلكم مستهم البأساء والضراء وزلزلوا.
You think that the road to paradise, the path to paradise is open for you? You just go there and you, they give you multiple visa 10 years, you know? You go to paradise without being tested, without being tried, without suffering? No, it doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. So this does not mean that God hates you. God is testing you. Imtihan. To see whether you pass in this test, you lose your faith in God or you don't. Some people lose their faith in God. When he goes to a job interview and he gets declined, they don't accept him, they reject him, or he fails in the finals in his school, or he fails in his marriage, or he has some health issues, his faith in God gets severely tested and he doesn't pass. He say, God hates me. God is not merciful anymore. God is not listening to me. God is not paying attention. See how much I'm praying, calling upon him? He doesn't turn to me. They lose their faith. But some people know. Some people know that God, they know that God is listening and is watching and is seeing, but he's testing. At the end, victory would come at the end. It might take several years. Not several months, several years for victory to be achieved. So you have to be patient. إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ. How many times this book in the Quran praises those who persevere, those who are patient. Patience for what? Patience over what? Over sufferings, over these challenges. You have to be patient. You cannot lose your faith in God. At the end, God will come to your aid. At the end. It might take 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. With Musa and Aaron, it took 40 years. Musa said, oh God, I am hopeless. I am helpless. I am facing this giant Pharaoh with his machine, with his propaganda, with his army. And I don't have any power. God said to Moses and Aaron, he said to them, قَالَ قَدْ أُجِيبَتْ دَعْوَتُكُمَا. I am responding to you. But between the time that God said to them, I'm going to give you victory and help you, and between the time that victory came, how long it took? 40 years. 40 years. But Moses did not lose hope. So don't lose hope in God. Now, do we have a say over our destiny? Yes. Imam al-Sadiq and the Quran says yes. It's about cooperation. How do I have a say? What should I do to decide my destiny, to decide my happiness, my salvation in this life, my success in this life? There are many things. One of them, pay charity. The more you pay charity and you work for charities and you help the poor and the needy, the more you're going to be protected. Physically protected, mentally protected. Pay charity. الصدقة تدفع البلاء وقد أبرم إبراما. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, an act of sadaqah, sadaqah, giving a euro, 2 euros, a sandwich, some food, some medicine, some water, some help, some guidance. These are acts of sadaqah. It will intercept the bala. Affliction is coming to hit you. The accident on the road is coming to hit you. But when you pay this charity, God is going to protect you. The other thing, my friend, صلة الرحم وبر الوالدين. Connecting with your family members, helping them out, reaching out to them, and being dutiful to your parents is going to prolong your life. Is going to prolong your life with health and prosperity. The hadith says, a person, God determines that this person lives till the age of 60. But then this person starts abusing his own parent, abusing them, disrespecting them, cutting his ties with his parents. God will change the 60 into 30. On the other hand, someone God decides in the beginning for him to live for 30 years, but he becomes dutiful to his parents. He stands with his parents. He helps his parents. He supports his parents. God decides to prolong his life from 30 to 60 or from 60 to 90. A person comes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet was calling for jihad. They have to go to war to defend Islam. Someone came to the Prophet. He said, Ya Rasulallah, I am the only son. I am the only child to my parents. I have elderly parents and I am the only child. They have no son, no daughters other than me. I am the only one. And you called for jihad and I have to come with you. But I left my parents at home crying. Taraktu abawaya yabkiyan. The Prophet said, you are the only child? He said, yes. He said, go, stay with your parents and make them smile as you did make them cry. فَوَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ لَأُنْسُهُمَا بِكَ يَوْمًا وَلَيْلَةٍ خَيْرٌ مِنْ جِهَادِ سَنَةٍ كَامِلَةٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. The Prophet says, I swear that if you go back to your parents and stay with them 24 hours, يَوْمْ وَلَيْلَةٍ, a night and a day, it's more rewarding than fighting injustice in the battlefield for 1 year. For 1 year, staying with your parents, just sitting next to them, making them happy, giving them peace of mind, helping them. Now, my friends, you don't realize this, but when you become a father or a mother, and sometimes you miss your kids, especially when parents become elderly, they start missing their kids. They just want to sit with them. They don't need help. They don't need money. They don't need food. They need your presence. They need just to see you, to watch you, to watch their son, to watch their daughter. Even if you sit next to them and you say nothing, by just looking, them looking at you, they get energized. They have hope in their life. So don't deprive them and don't deprive yourself. Birru al-walidain, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, being dutiful to your parents will be a major cause of your success in this life. A major cause of your success. Being with them at the time of need. You might get accepted into a specific school somewhere else, out of the Netherlands, for instance. Somewhere else. But if you say, I go to this university here in my town because my parents are here, so I can stay with them, I can check on them, I can see them from time to time, you will get rewarded for that. It's a sacrifice. Life is about sacrifice. Life is not always about getting the best certificate, the best university, the best money. Sometimes you get the best money, but that money is not going to help you. I personally, I'm standing in front of you, I have friends. I have many friends around the world. Many friends. Some of them are multimillionaires, but they are not happy. Multimillionaires. I know them personally. They are my personal friends. They are not happy. Multimillionaires. Shouldn't the money make us happy? Money. We all love money. But they are not happy. So money is not about everything. Don't measure your success with money. Measure your success with the good deeds. The good deeds that you are providing your community, your family, your society, your country. This is how we know this person is successful or unsuccessful. All the prophets of God, they were financially broke, except Sulaiman. The only prophet who was rich, who was king, he was multi-billionaire, Sulaiman alayhi salam. And that is an exception. The rest, they were hungry. They were barefoot. Isa alayhi salam, Jesus, he used to walk barefoot and always hungry. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam always hungry. His daughter Fatima al-Zahra always hungry. Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, Imam Hussein. Chapter 76 in this book, I started this chapter with this verse. هَلْ أَتَى عَلَى الْإِنسَانِ حِينٌ مِّنَ الدَّهْرِ لَمْ يَكُنْ شَيْئًا مَذْكُورًا. The story of Ali, Fatima, Hassan and Hussein and their servant Fidda. They went for 3 days with no food. وَيُطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِي. 3 days with no food, only water. But they were happy. They were happy. They were always smiling, always happy. Always content with their life. And there are some people who have billions of dollars and always miserable, always sad. Inside them, they are sad. You see them smiling in front of cameras, but inside, they are sad. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just ask Him for money, ask Him to make you happy. This is what is important. So it is your deed that decides your destiny. It is your dua. One of the nights that are important in our life is the night of what? What do we call it? The night of destiny, qadr. Qadr means destiny. We intensify our work, our dua, our supplication, our istighfar, our repentance in that night. And God will look at our intentions, look at our hearts. Sometimes during the night of Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, you do little dua, not so many duas, small duas, but very genuine, very genuine. You make a vow that God, if you give me life, I'm going to help people around me. I'm going to reach out to those destitutes, the poor, the needy, the lonely, those who are sad, those who are sick. I'm going to help them. I'm going to dedicate several hours of my day to helping people around me, not just to help myself. The hadith says, if you put people before yourself, God is going to take care of you. If you put people's affairs before your affairs, God is going to take care of your affairs. Because God is going to say, look at my servant. He's putting people before himself or herself. So I have to solve his problem. So these things decide our destiny. Now, if someone is successful in his marriage, let me ask you this question. Someone very successful indeed in his or her marriage, another person are not very much so. They are not successful in their marriage. Or they have divorce, for instance. They experience divorce. Is this God's will or their will, people's will? Which one? Think before you answer. What time is it? I'm lost because I'm on America's, you know, it's morning there, so here it's 8:47. Okay. So who is behind your success in your marriage, or God forbids, your unhappiness in your marriage? Is it God or the husband and the wife or the family? Sometimes not just the husband and the wife, people who surround them too. You wanted to answer, but you are not married. No, this gentleman. Inshallah, in 10 years you're going to answer this, not now. Leave it for those who are married now. So which one do you think?
It's the couple.
The couple? Shukran. So the couple. Do you agree with him, the couple? Do you all agree? If you agree with him, the couple are responsible for their happiness or God forbid, for their misery, then raise your hand. Let me see who agrees with him. Okay, put your hands down. Who believes that God is responsible for those people's happiness or misery in their marriage? Raise your hand if you believe God is responsible. In the marriage, mostly we are responsible. Of course, God definitely has a role, because sometimes you try to save the marriage. You do everything possible to save this marriage. It's not saved. It will be disintegrated, no matter what you do. But mostly, we are responsible. We cannot blame it on God. Sometimes there is miscommunication. Sometimes there is a wrong choice from day one. Maybe you are a very good person, as a male, as a female, as a wife, as a husband. You are perfect, but you made the wrong choice from day one. You chose the wrong person. Even if you are good, even if you are an angel, even if you are a saint, but when you choose the wrong person, that marriage is not going to work. No matter how much concessions you give, how much reconciliation you try, how much counseling you do, how much goodness you present, still it doesn't work because you chose the wrong person from day one. Now, who's responsible for choosing the wrong person from day one? God or me? Is it God or us?
Us.
Huh?
Us.
Solely us? 100% us? 100%? Or God has a role in it?
I
hear this side, women, they say God has a role. Definitely God has a role. If God does not have a role, then why you ask him on the night of Qadr, oh Allah, find me the right husband, find me the right wife. Why? If it is only your responsibility, then why are you asking him for help? There is no need to ask him for help. God also has a role. Because God says, if you are good, I'm going to direct you to the right person. How many times we've seen some people marrying someone else, this person comes from this side of the world, the other one comes from the other side. They meet in a place for a few minutes, and then after that they get married. Who brought them together? Who brought them together? Accident? Is it by accident? You think accident happened? We call it accident. We say, well, I accidentally, you know, met him in the supermarket. I accidentally met him at the airport. It's not accident. God says there is no accident. God in this book, he says in this life, there is nothing called accident. وَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِمِقْدَارٍ Everything that takes place in this life has a reason and has a planning. So God has a role in that. In your marriage, God has a role. But your role is bigger. Do not only throw it on God. Don't. You have to live up to your own responsibility and ask God for guidance. In sickness and health, who is responsible for our sickness and health? Only God or only you?
Both.
You have to take care of yourself. Take care of your food, healthy food, exercise, stay away from the viruses, stay away from, clean yourself, take care of your hygiene, and at the same time ask God every single day, oh God, I want you to keep me healthy. It's both, it's not only one. So we have a role, my friends, in deciding our destiny, we have a role. We have a role. Our dua, the role is your prayers. Ask Allah. Always ask him. Not just ask him for major things. Ask him for minor things. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, don't just ask God to give you money, to give you the good partner, to give you a home. Even when you leave your home today, you're going to your work, to your office, to your job. Say, Allah, make this day a peaceful day for me. So when I come back home, I'm happy with what I do in the marketplace, with my relationship, with my interaction with people, with my dealings with people. Make it safe, make it good, make it healthy. Pray even for the smallest things. Don't take life for granted. Don't say, no, I can do this. God, I don't need his help. In this issue, I can take care of it. I can get to my office today with no problem. I can board this train, this airplane, this car, and go home because I know how to drive. I drive safely. 2 weeks ago, I was almost killed in an accident. Do you know that? I was coming back from the mosque. My son was driving. There is a hit and run. It was Saturday night. A drunk person came with a, I don't know what type of speed he was driving. And I was almost killed two weeks ago, believe me. I saw death right before my eyes. But because I always believe in sadaqah. I always, when I sit in the car, I recite Ayatul Kursi. Always. I've been doing this for 50 years. I begin before I say anything, before I call anyone, before I accept any call. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu al-qayyum. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. The rest of it. And I say three magical words. Bismillah. Wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Tawakkaltu ala Allah. This is the reason for my safety. I believe in the dua. But at the same time, I have to be vigilant. When I drive, I have to drive safe. I can't drive crazy because I read the dua and God is taking care of me. No. It's both. Partnership. God does his role and I have to do my own role. So this is how we influence our destiny. Through dua, communication with God, through charity, through being kind to your parents, through reaching out, silatul rahim, to people around you, through doing good deeds, and through having good intentions. Always when you have good intention in your heart. Always. You have the niyyah, the intention of doing good, saying good, helping people, reaching out to people. God would look at these things. This is a package. This is a package. And God is going to choose the right path for you, the right destiny for you. Do you have any questions before we conclude?
Yes, if I may.
Please.
Thank you, Sayyid, for the lovely lecture so far. I have a question about the sequence of free will, at least the partial free will that we have. So what is the sequence in a certain event? Is it with Allah, then us, and then Allah? How should we see that?
No, it is always Allah is first and Allah is last. To answer your question correctly, Allah is the decision maker. I'll give you an example. Are you a father?
Not yet.
You will be a father, inshallah. Then, when you are raising your son, are you going to give him a freedom or not? You're going to force him.
I'll give him freedom, but I'll in certain parameters.
Exactly. You're going to give him a freedom. As he gets older and older, you're going to give him a credit card. You're going to buy him maybe a car, okay? You're going to send him to school. Sometimes he's going to choose the school. But at the same time, are you supervising him or not? Does he have absolute freedom? When you give him a car, does he have absolute freedom to do whatever he wants with that car? Or to buy whatever he wants with that credit card that you have given him? No. He is a free. But as you mentioned it very correctly, there are some limits there. You are supervising him. Yes, he is a free. But there is someone above him, watching him, supervising him, directing him to the right path, telling him, no, 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 this is dangerous. Don't do this. This is right. Do this. Same thing between us and God. When we put our trust in God, God is supervising us. He will give us a freedom, of course. He will give us a freedom, freedom of choice. We have the freedom of choice. But then sometimes, at the times that we are making mistakes and we ask him for guidance, اهدنَا الصراط. How many times we say, اهدنَا الصراط المستقيم? Hundreds of times a day. اهدنَا. Guide us to the right path. But we don't believe in that. And we don't even pay attention to it. اهدنَا الصراط المستقيم means, oh God, if I am saying something wrong, if I am doing something wrong, if I am making the wrong decision, if I am going to the wrong place, you direct me, give me inspiration. Not physically hold me and push me back. No. Give me inspiration that this is wrong. Don't pursue this path. Don't do this thing. Give me inspiration, ilham, inspiration. This is the meaning of ihdina as-sirat al-mustaqim. It doesn't mean that God is going to force us. He's not going to force us. He's going to remind us. Because sometimes we go through ghafla, forgetfulness. We need a wake-up call from God. So God, the sequence, to answer your question, the beginning and the end belongs to God. Belongs to God. If he doesn't want us to do something, he can. He can stop us. So always we work in cooperation and partnership with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best dua, my friends, one of the best prayers that you must pray every single day, say the following. Say, Allahumma arina al-haqqa haqqan fanattabih wal-batila batilan fanishtanib. O God, allow me to see very clearly without any hesitation, without any confusion, the truth, so I can follow it. And let me see falsehood and evil very clearly so I can avoid it. Ask this from God every single day. Any other question before we leave? Let's allow the sisters. Yes. Angels?
Animals.
No, animals they do not have. Two things, they don't have a free will. Angels and animals. We are in between. Humans are in between. Animals, they were not created for a life of responsibility. We have been endowed with responsibility. We have a mission. Animals do not have a mission. Animals, they may entertain us. We have pets, we enjoy them. Sometimes they help us. Sometimes a dog would stand next to us, loyal to us. But they don't have a mission per se, like our mission. We are different. Because we have a mission, because we have a responsibility, therefore we have the choice. We have the free choice. Animals do not have a free choice. And God says in his book, مَا مِن دَابَّةٍ إِلَّا هُوَ آخِذٌ بِنَاصِيَتِهَا. They've been controlled to follow a certain path. So they don't have free will because they don't have responsibility. Because they don't have responsibility, they don't deserve free will. Any comments? Do you think they have free will? Many of them are very intelligent and very smart, definitely. But they don't have a mission in this life. God has not given them a mission. And God is not expecting them to live up to that mission. And therefore, in the day of judgment, they are not being judged. Animals are not being judged. Many of them, they don't have a choice. When you take a pet, you buy it, you bring it into your home. The way you train it, he's going to act upon that way. He cannot say, no, I'm not listening to you. I have another idea in my mind. He doesn't say. If you go to a donkey, for instance, and tell him, you know, why you are here? Why you are in this zoo, but not in that zoo? He says, I don't know. They brought me here. But for us, we are different. We have a mission, and therefore we have a choice. So let's conclude with dua. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma ahdina fi man hadayt. Wa'afina fi man afayt. Watawallana fi man tawallayt. Waqdi lana al-khayra fa'innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk. O Allah, bestow on us vision and guidance so we can see the path before our eyes and we make the right choice. O Allah, enable us to be good agents for goodness, for wholesomeness, for peace, for reconciliation in this world. O Allah, allow us to reach out to our family members, to our parents, to our friends, to our neighbors, to our co-workers, and we can be of benefit to mankind. O Allah, keep us strong. on the path of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his progeny, Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And allow us to read your book, benefit from your book, and receive inspiration from your book, the Holy Quran. O Allah, reward those who are working for your cause and the cause of the humanity. And we pray for the Ahlul Bayt organization, for the organizers, for the founders, for the board members, for the participants, for all those brothers and sisters who came tonight and participated in this successful event. May Allah reward you. And finally, we pray for the reappearance of our Savior, our Imam. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma kun li waliyyika al-Hujjah ibn al-Hasan salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaihi fi hadhihi as-sa'ati wa fi kulli sa'ah waliyan wa hafizan wa qa'idan wa nasiran wa dalilan wa 'ayna hatta tuskinahu ardaka taw'a wa tumatti'ahu fiha tawila. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين.